Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will talk about how to live a life that will keep you young. Our featured guest is businessman, health author, and health lecturer, Dr. Marshall Reddick, Ph.D. Dr. Reddick is the author of the book, Live Forever Young. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, here's a study that says that apple, pear, phytochemicals increase on the shelf. According to conventional wisdom, nutrient levels diminish the longer fresh produce sits on the shelf. But new research suggests antioxidant levels may actually increase during the ripening process, and even as the fruit begins to spoil. Austrian scientists measured particular chemical changes that occur in apples and pears as they mature from green to fully ripe and beyond. They found certain compounds are actually byproducts of the decomposition of chlorophyll, responsible for plant life's green hue. The color of the changes that signal maturation also indicate waxing antioxidant capacity, which in turn yield greater health benefits upon consumption. Apples in particular are known as one of the best sources of quercetin, which Cornell researchers found to possibly have a role in protecting against Alzheimer's. Red Delicious rank highest in phytochemicals, which may help fight disease and slow aging. New USDA data on fruit portions recently upgraded the serving size of both apples and pears to about the size of a softball, which means that just one provides about a quarter of your daily need for fiber. Half of the fiber and about a third of all phytochemicals in apples and pears resides in the skins alone, so think twice about employing that peeler if you want to derive maximum nutrition benefits from these fruits. And another bonus is that the fiber found in apples and pears may help fight breast cancer and protect the prostate. Here's a study that shows that run faster, learn faster. 3-minute sprint boosts brain power by 20%. Want to cut down on the same time it takes to learn something new? Try adding 3-minute bursts of intense exercise to your regular workout. Plenty of research has linked the activity of higher test scores, but a recent study in Neurobiology of Learning and Memory suggests that pouring it on physically can help you soak it up mentally. German researchers test 27 young men after moderate exercise, intense exercise, and no exercise. Only intense exercise, 2 3-minute sprints spaced 2 minutes apart, yielded benefit, 20% faster vocabulary learning. Sprints can be incorporated into nearly any form of physical activity, running, biking, swimming, even strength training, simply by ramping up the rate of activity to maximum aerobic potential. Beyond boosting brain power, sprints rev up metabolism and also elevate human growth hormone levels by 450%. Sprints can help increase your exercise capacity, thereby extending longevity. Well, here's a study that shows that U.S. men who skip breakfast may increase heart disease risk. Men who regularly skip breakfast may have an increased risk of heart disease, U.S. researchers say. Researchers at Harvard School of Public Health in Boston and colleagues analyzed the eating habits, including breakfast, of 26,902 U.S. men ages 45 to 82, who were found to be free of cardiovascular disease and cancer when assessed in 1992 for the Health Professional Follow-Up Study. During 16 years of follow-up, 1,527 incident coronary heart disease cases were diagnosed. Computer models were used to estimate relative risk and adjustments were made for demographic, dietary, lifestyle, and other coronary heart disease risk factors. The study published in the journal Circulation found that men who skipped breakfast had a 27% higher risk of coronary heart disease compared with men who did not skip a morning meal. Well, we'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, if negative emotions can be destructive to our health, what about positive emotions? Well, you know, Norman Cousins opened the door to the new field of research when he helped heal himself of a fatal, hopeless disease by using positive emotions such as joy, laughter, love, gratitude, and faith, along with sensible health practices. Since then, scientists in the field of psychoneuroimmunology have isolated many of the substances these emotions produce in the brain, and they are called endorphins. They not only block pain, but can also promote healing, strengthen the immune system, and produce wonderful feelings of well-being.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
Our special guest today on Health and Longevity is Dr. Marshall Reddick, Ph.D. Dr. Reddick has been teaching, studying, and practicing excellent nutrition for over 20 years, and he wrote his first book, Live Forever Young, and conducted health seminars for the last 20 years. Dr. Reddick is a member of the National Speakers Association and possesses the coveted Certified Speaking Professional designation, and have spoken worldwide on many topics, including peak performance, time management, goal setting and success, and the importance of eating healthy. Well, Dr. Reddick, thank you for being with us today on Health and Longevity.
Thank you, Dr. Westerdahl. I'm so exciting.
Well, you know, Dr. Reddick, you have a Ph.D. in business. It's not in the health field, but it's actually in business. And you've actually taught marketing in the business school at California State University in Los Angeles for 30 years. How did you become interested in health and longevity? And perhaps more importantly, how have you learned so much about nutrition?
Well, you know, I believe it all started when both my mom and dad had real, real serious health problems. My dad had his first heart attack at age 58. He was overweight. My mom was overweight, and then she came down with diabetes and was having to take insulin. And then mom, I think, started listening to Jack LaLanne about juicing, and she began to juice, and she lost all her weight, and she really, really got into health, and she began to read all the books on health, and became very healthy. The diabetes went away. She was able to not have her cancer come back, and I was just so impressed with that. And so when she passed on, and she passed on in her sleep, she was frankly in great shape. They said that she passed on with natural causes. She was 84, and I was so impressed with that that I brought all of her books back to California and began to read them, and I became very interested. And then I met, about 24 years ago, I met Lola, my sweetheart of today. And she was just starting to read Paul Bragg's book on apple cider vinegar. And so we called Patricia Bragg and spoke to her on the phone. And she was just so delightful. And we became so excited about their information that I read all of their books and also, you know, started to practice taking apple cider vinegar and honey and doing their regimen. And it just helped me so, so much that I started to feel that I was healthier than I had been in my prime when I was in my early 20s. So then I decided to really, really study it. And of course, you know, when you get a PhD, you're used to doing really a lot of research. And so I wrote the first edition of Live Forever Young. It took me about 2 years of really a lot of research on how to live longer. And so that endeavor has continued along the way. And I just revised Live Forever Young because, as you know, things are changing so rapidly in the health field and the knowledge is becoming so much more profound. And so that's the way that I became so interested in health.
And Live Forever Young is, how many pages is that book? It's quite a big volume. I have a copy of it.
Yeah, I've kept it in the format of putting in a three-ring binder because, as you know, the information changes so quickly. And I do seminars on the subject there in Southern California. So I've kept it in a three-ring binder. And it's about nearly 600 pages. So there's a lot of information there about how to live longer.
There sure is. Well, now, you believe that there are three keys to happiness and success. What are they?
Well, I do. And this is, again, you know, everything that I have written is from personal experience. And first of all, as you know, and common phraseology, that health is wealth. And so I believe that living healthy so that you're strong and that you live a long, healthy life. And my goal is to live to be at least 100.
Okay.
And be well and be able to have mobility and have my alert mind and so on. So that would be certainly one of the keys. There is an individual in San Diego that's purported to be a billionaire, and he was told that he only had 6 months to live. And in my understanding, he told his friends that he would give away all his money to be able to just live a few more years. So you begin to realize how important health is. I also found in my studies that wealth is important, that wealthy people have greater access to health care and are able to go to more healthcare restaurants, and they seem to be more interested in living longer because certainly they have a reason to do so. And so we found that the higher you are on the economic scale, the more likely you are to be able to utilize the knowledge on nutrition and live longer. So I've always thought that wealth is important too. And of course, if you're going to live a long time, you need to have that wealth to be able to enjoy your life. And then finally is spirituality. I have always been very close to God and Jesus, and I just strongly believe that spirituality is so very important. And I found a lot of research indicating that people that go to church and believe in God live a lot longer, and they're a lot healthier. They have a lot less stress. And so I think spirituality is so very, very important.
Now, you believe that one can live successfully to be 100 years of age, and more research is showing that, and actually being at that age and looking and feeling great. Now, can you be so confident that people can do that at any age, really?
Absolutely. Well, you know, in 1950, there were only 23,000 centenarians that lived to be over 100, and now there are about 581,000. About every 10 years, the number of centenarians doubles. And we're number three as far as per population. Japan is first, and then France is second, and then the U.S. is third. My concern is that as far as life expectancy, we're way, way down there. We're 37th in the world on life expectancy. Our life expectancy for both men and women on average is about 78 years old, where Japan is living to be 82, and Switzerland's 82, and most of Europe is 82. And I'm kind of concerned. And, of course, obesity is a huge problem. The lower ones are Mexico. Median age there is 75. Life expectancy for China is about 75. So we're starting to see that there are big differences as far as longevity is concerned. I'm just so certain that through proper eating and exercise that we can easily live to be 100. And my focus has been on avoiding disease. I just believe that, again, through proper nutrition and good exercise, it's really possible to avoid disease. And if you avoid disease, that is certainly the prime killer and keeps us from leading a very, very successful life through at least 100.
Now, you've, in your studies, have really studied the behaviors of what you call successful centenarians. What really is a successful centenarian, and what have you found out about their, you know, their behavior habits?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, an unsuccessful centenarian would be one that ends up in a home somewhere, in a wheelchair or bedridden, and can't do anything. None of us want to live longer if that's going to be what our life is like.
Right.
What I was looking for are successful centenarians who are over 100 and have their mobility and have their independence and are enjoying life. And so there's a number of studies out there where they've looked at centenarians to see exactly what are they doing and what is common to their life. So let me just talk to you. There's 16 characteristics that I'd like to identify.
Let's go through those.
First of all, and those that are listening might want to write these down, they regard life and longevity as inherently meaningful. In other words, they have strong survival instincts, and most of them have set goals to live to be over 100. And I think that's very, very important. We have people like George Burns and Bob Hope that all said that they had planned to live to be 100, and they either came extremely close to it or succeeded at doing so. Some other things is they derive pleasure in daily activities. They're very optimistic, and they're really having quite a lot of fun, which is kind of good to know. They're very outgoing. 89% of them have good social connections, and that's very, very important, that as you live longer, you may outlive your children and most of your friends, and so you have to maintain and create new connections. They don't listen to negative facts about old age. They don't sit around talking about how they feel and so on. They don't resist change. They accept change. They're very self-sufficient, and they want to remain self-sufficient, and they keep themselves mentally alive, so that's very important to avoid Alzheimer's and some of those other horrible diseases, is just to, you know, they say if you don't use it, you lose it, and that's true with your mind as well. They're very physically active, which I place a lot of emphasis on, that as we grow older, we tend to exercise less and less, and be less and less active, and that's what causes much of our many of our problems. They also have very healthy routines. They have a routine for exercise. 51% of them exercised every day. They eat nutritionally. 80% of them consumed healthy meals, and they also get 8 hours of sleep, which is very important to weight loss as well as longevity. 71% of them slept at least 8 hours. And that was from a Professor Dunbar in Columbia University that looked at a number of different people that were over 100. And then to go on with another study, 67% of them prayed or participated in some spiritual activity every day. And I thought that was important. And that came from Smart Money back in 2012. And then most of them have been able to avoid disease. 87% men and 83% of women never had any disease. And they don't smoke, or they quit over 40 years ago. And they're very independent. 70% of them still lived at home. And they eat very nutritionally. 82% of them said that they eat nutritionally for at least the last 40 years. And that's a study from Evercare for Senior Health, and a study of 70 American women and 30 men. And then the Okinawa study also tells us they are purportedly to have more people over 100, and they eat very few calories. They're high on fruit consumption and vegetable consumption, high in fiber, good omega-3 acid oils. They eat very little red meat and lots of salmon and sardines. One study that impressed me was 60 Minutes looked for men that were over 100 in the United States, and they interviewed them, and they wanted to see what was common in their lives. And I found it quite fascinating that, first of all of them still worked, which I thought was really, really fascinating. And then they ate healthy, and they all ate oatmeal. So believe me, I began to eat oatmeal every morning along with my blueberries and so on. They all walked at least 1 mile a day, and I started doing that when I heard about this study. And they were all very optimistic, and they also had good social connections. So I think that information gives us a clue as to really how to live to be 100.
You know, you mentioned in one of your chapters of your book how one can continue to look and feel good as one gets older. How does one do that?
All right. Well, I totally believe that you really will look how you feel, and you will feel how you look. And by that I mean that if you let yourself go downhill and you don't look good, then you start to feel that way. And so I think it's very, very important to maintain your body and how you look. Somehow many of us believe that age is inevitable, and having our hair fall out and having our skin look all cracked and wrinkled and so on is inevitable. And I just don't believe that. We learn that all of our cells are replaced periodically. And I truly believe that if we exercise properly, we can keep the same muscle tone and we can keep our body strong. And then if we eat correctly, then it allows the body to replenish itself and replenish all the cells so that we really, really look good. Some things that I think are very important, maybe strangely enough, is your attitude toward age. If you believe that age is inevitable and you look back and see when your parents began to lose their hair and when they began to have physical problems and then when they died, then you take that in. And I think to a great extent, the body kind of follows that. It's kind of like the self-fulfilling prophecy. So I think that you need to definitely have some goals to live to be 100, then you need to have some plans to do so. I've always said I can tell how long you're going to live by just simply asking you, how long do you expect to live, and how long into the future do you have specific goals? And if you only have goals up to, say, retirement, and your retirement's 65, as we know, so many people deteriorate so quickly after they retire because they just don't have any plans. And so the body just kind of, I think, gives up, and so does the mind. So I think that's very, very important. Getting enough sleep is terribly important to help the body regenerate itself. You need to drink lots of water. We're made a large portion of water, and that keeps your skin in good shape and allows you to detoxify successfully and so on. And as we get older, an awful lot of people, they just don't care for themselves. They don't eat enough vitamins. They don't get enough sleep. They don't get enough water. They don't exercise, and that really leads to an awful lot of their problems. Also, stress is a huge problem, and we have to learn to deal with stress. The centenarians that we described before in that study indicated that they really deal with stress very, very well and don't let themselves become overstressed. As far as your skin is concerned, you don't have to get all wrinkled and crinkly. We've learned that if we learn to exfoliate our skin so new skin can appear, men have an advantage because a lot of them use, razors, straight-edge razors to get rid of their whiskers, and they also exfoliate their skin automatically as well. And it's actually possible to exercise your face. Some of them call a facial yoga. You could Google facial yoga, and you can do it on YouTube and actually watch the exercises. I exercise my face every day.
Dr. Reddick, we just have about a minute left. Tell us quickly about your book and how one can get it. And again, the book is called Live Forever Young.
Right. Boy, the time goes so fast, doesn't it?
Yes.
So at any rate, absolutely. And my website is a very good website called Optimum Healthy Living. And my phone number, you're welcome to call me, and I'd be happy to get back to you, is 714-369-6473. And we just talk to you, and you can go to the website and get Live Forever Young. And then I also have a weight loss book that's very good called Get Healthy, Feel Good, and Look Great.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate the information you gave with us today. And once again, the book is Live Forever Young, and your website again?
Is Optimum Healthy Living.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Westerbaum. Appreciate it.
Now, some of our listeners have said that they have missed a show or would like to re-listen to a previous show of Health and Longevity. And if you would like to listen to past shows, go to our website at healthandlongevityradio.com.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for this week. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.